Hey, everybody, I'm Nick Layton.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week, we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea, at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.
This episode of Cutting the Curd is brought to you by Comté Cheese Association. Comté, an iconic cheese from the Jura Mountains of France, favored by cheesemongers and cheese lovers all over the world. Find out more at comté-usa.com. That's comté-usa.com.
This week on Meat and Three, we're spotlighting the people, dishes, and ingredients decolonizing food. We're looking at our Thanksgiving plates and beyond to explore efforts to reclaim food sovereignty in Native American culture, the African diaspora, and Puerto Rico.
I believe that oyster dressing is like the consummate side dish for an amazing fried turkey.
What we're doing there is just working the land, and we're laughing, and we're creating a space for joy. And it's in that healing occurs for us.
Tune in to Meat and Three, HRN's weekly food news roundup, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Cutting the Curd. I am your host, Kara Warren, and today on the show, I have my co-hosts and friends, Jessica Kesselman and Diane Stemple, on to join me and talk turkey, or actually, in this case, cheese. I bet you guys, cheesemongers, you're counting the hours at the counter, and the mania has started. I can feel it in the air. I was in a supermarket the other day, and definitely people were buying lots of food and much, much more. But Diane and Jess, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Good to be here.
Good to be here.
Awesome. So I figure we can kind of do this round table style a little bit. And I was thinking, so first we should do like top two products, top two cheese products, or maybe just products for the holidays. Jess, I'm going to shoot to you first. What do you feel like are the top two items that are kind of moving right now?
I thought you meant like you were going to say like my personal two.
Oh, well, we can do that eventually.
Because, okay, great. Yeah. Because I've been daydreaming about one of them. I just need to place an order. I mean, I might as well just go and say, and I think this applies to your question. I have been obsessed with pimento cheese bread. I don't know why I've been dreaming of it. I've been like really, really wanting to have that for the holidays.
There are
so many people making great pimento cheese bread, either like in-house at, you know, your local favorite shop, or, you know, mail order from, you know, I've been thinking about Sweetgrass Dairy, and Zingerman's makes a great one. I mean, there's so many options. And so I've kind of been thinking about getting a few different types of spreads.
Are you going to do like a pimento cheese, like vertical tasting? Is that what I'm sensing right now?
It might happen. It just might happen.
Okay, I'm very jealous right now. I
definitely, so I definitely think that's one of the options. And then the other one, I wouldn't even say is necessarily cheese. I think ice cream and some other like fresh cheese items like mascarpone and stuff. I think people are taking those a lot more seriously now and kind of doing their research about what to buy, and the flavors are just so amazing right now. So I'm going to say spreads and other forms of dairy, you know, topping products, whether they're fresh cheese or, you know, ice cream.
Okay. I like where you went there, Jess. I'm going to throw it over to Diane now, because I'm curious, Diane, what you think are the top two for you right now.
Well, I have, can you hear me?
Oh, sure can. Yeah, absolutely. Okay.
I have completely different ideas.
That's good, though.
But they're my own ideas.
That still works.
They weren't other people's ideas. So I have fallen in love with Dorothy's cheese.
Oh,
you know this cheese?
Yes, I do. It's produced by the French company Savencia, I believe, and then it's there's a creamery in Illinois, or they own the creamery, some story like that.
Right. From Lena, Illinois.
Yes, that's right. That's right. And so, are you doing the ashed version or the unashed version?
Well, I like both. The keep dreaming and come back cow. Those are my two names of the cheeses. And I don't know which is which. So then I was just doing a little homework and saw there was a truffle one.
Really? I didn't realize that. Okay.
Yeah. It could have been just for, you know, the holidays.
I see. Which could be true. Yeah, I would imagine some of the truffle products that, last quarter time is full on truffle. I mean, so it's funny,
but it's incredibly it's inexpensive. Yeah. It's $9.99 for Dorothea Dorothea cheese. And I recently had Keep Dreaming, and before that I had Come Back Cow, and I don't really see that big a difference.
Uh-huh. I see.
But they're both lovely.
I see. Okay. And, you know, I did a really practical, I went practical for some reason this season. I was thinking top two, it's going to be cheddar for mac and cheese, you know, and then brie for baked brie. And then I kind of wanted to follow that up with, like, do you guys feel, and we'll run back to Jess on this one now. Jess, do you feel that people are into baked brie still? Is this a thing that people love? I wasn't sure. I mean, I think I see it a lot right now.
But. Yeah, I'm seeing it. You know what? I'm seeing it in like different packaging now. Like it's coming, you know, from all directions and, you know, and you can buy it pretty much anywhere and you can either get it like, you know, where the store wrapped the brie or maybe it's, in a box that the store got from a distributor. I have never had baked brie as an adult. I haven't seen it. It's never been in my presence. So
this is a funny thing. I think this is a funny thing that, like, as cheese people, we should all just take a step back and think about, because it is like these obvious cheese like delights that, like, somehow it's like when you're in New York City and you've been living in New York City for a million years, you never go to the Empire State Building. So I sort of feel like baked brie is that to cheese people. Like, we just don't get to it.
But I've lived in a lot of cities on the West Coast and the East Coast, and, you know, in my previous life of, you know, not cheese, and I never saw it then either. So someone's eating it. It's somewhere.
They're definitely eating it.
So let's pitch this to Diane now. Diane, have you eaten a baked brie before?
I think so. Not recently, but I think so, because you come upon it at a party.
I agree.
And they're nervous to show it to you because you're a cheese person.
Really? You think there's a bit of a, okay.
Well, it's too normal. It's too normal.
But I think if you add like certain toppings to it or like other, you know, specialty foods. I mean, you know, people do bacon wrapped ones now. I'm not saying that we should do bacon wrapped brie. That's a little maybe over the top for some, but you know,
that sounds awful.
See, for you, that sounds awful. See, I went too far on that. Okay, all right. Well, you know, okay. Let's segue now. I want to segue to: are either one of you making Thanksgiving? Are you hosting Thanksgiving this year, Jess? Are you making it for the family? Are you cooking?
Yeah. So. It's just going to be our immediate family, just my husband and me and the kids. And my husband's been the turkey master of ceremonies for a while, for many years. So, you know, this is his day. The kids, you know, they requested mac and cheese. So I'll be doing that. I've got my I've got my blend that I use.
Is it and, a separate blend? What's your blend?
Spill the beans.
Okay, so I use a 2 year aged cheddar. That's the bulk, and then I, when I can get my hands on some Point Reyes Toma, I'll use that. And if I can't, then I use Gruyere. And then I sprinkle on some Parmigiano Reggiano on the top. But there used to be, it's the Martha Stewart recipe that Smitten Kitchen kind of, you know, brought back to life. It's really good. It makes a lot though. So, you know, you can cut it in half. But I first went with the artisanal, the restaurant, their mac and cheese recipe. That was my original go-to. And that had mascarpone in it. And it was to die for. But the kids, they prefer the, you know,
the regular,
the Martha Stewart. So I keep thinking, you know, and I may bring back the other one, but.
Okay. Now what's cheddar? Which cheddar?
So I have found that Grafton melts the best and has the best. Something happens to that cheese when you melt it. Like the flavor is just so right on. It's a little mellower than it is when you eat it by itself, like not melted. And I'm not going to lie. Like I do have some connection with them right now, not directly, but,
You have a hookup.
But I just wanted to put that out there. But even before that, when I was just doing shows alongside them, I would always try and leave a show with a chunk of Grafton cheddar and some Toma. And I'd go home and I'd make mac and cheese. And that's how it happened.
A question about your mac and cheese. Do you make a roux for it? Are you doing?
I do.
Okay. And then, so which butter are you using for that? Because this is another strong component of the mac and cheese. Do you have a preference on butter or?
You know, I never thought about it. I never thought about it being a strong component. Right. And I'll you got to school me on that.
Yeah.
I just use, so I am picky about my butter. Mm-hmm. I have the brands that I love. But it's not cultured. It's, you know, from the supermarket.
No, I'll put a plug in for myself on this one. I'll hook you up with some Isigny cultured butter.
Okay.
I think that's what's needed. That's the next level step. Although it's funny. Right. So when I was researching mac and cheese ideas for myself this season, because I feel like that's what happens. I started looking at Southern recipes and they use eggs and milk as the, instead of a bechamel, instead of a roux bechamel traditional mac and cheese recipe. So I'm thinking about giving that a play, but I really do love the whole making the classic, you know, cheese sauce for the mac and cheese and then adding the breadcrumbs on top. I don't think there's, you know, you can't get out of that. But Diane, are you going down mac and cheese lane as well? Or are you cooking
this season? No, well, I'm not cooking. I'm going.
That's my exes.
I've never made mac and cheese.
What? That's wild. Okay.
I've already made mac and cheese. I used to make it in the box for my son when he was zero.
Oh, that happens a lot in my house.
Okay.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
But this was the bad box.
That's okay. There's no bad box.
Yeah.
not Annie's Craft.
Yeah.
My
God. They're owned by the same company now anyway, I believe. So there you go. But the Craft, I've gone back to the Craft. The Craft.
We can do a whole episode on boxed mac and cheese, guys. This is hilarious.
You throw some cumin in there. You can
I was going to say buffalo hot sauce.
Well, that too.
Anyway, we're all gluttons sometimes. Okay, so moving
on. But Diane, are you bringing cheese to your gathering?
Yes, I will bring. I'm buying, I've bought some already because it was hardier. And then I'll go to the good store near me, Campbell's Cheese.
I was going to say, give them a shout out.
You know, I'll buy some and then I'll get more.
Okay.
In a day or two.
Can I just circle back to that bake brie thing?
Sure.
Yeah.
Because if, you know, under normal non-COVID circumstances, I would go out and buy cheese for more people to eat because, you know, really in a, you know, in our family, it would just be me and my husband most likely eating more adventurous cheeses. And that's when I would normally buy like a Rush Creek Reserve or, you know, something gooey and creamy that you can just like dip right into or heat up. And mm-hmm. so like, I think in a way the baked brie, you know, if there's more competition, you don't have to, you know, you want an ooey gooey cheese. It doesn't have to be the baked brie anymore. There's, you know, other players out there. Right. So, and I'm thinking about it because, you know, Diane, and also in normal times, you generally have like a holiday gathering and there's always something gooey in there. So, well, you know, I'm going to miss that this year.
Oh, me too. My holiday gathering is traditional.
That's true. And it's always a good party. People bring the best wine. Yes. You put out an amazing cheese spread. And then also people bring more cheese.
Right. The cheese is, well, I buy maybe 6 or 8. And then people bring crazy cheese.
Yeah, I know.
It's a cheese party. I mean, it is totally a cheese party.
So I will say, to circle back to the listeners on this, I feel like everyone is getting to throw their own holiday parties, their own personal favorites. You know, before, I think people had to cater to their family and what they liked and, like, who knows, the other relative out there who's mm-hmm. vegan or their in-law or whatever. And like now people can actually get what they really want to do. Like I don't really like turkey. So I bought a smoked chicken from my local butcher and I'm going to heat that up for Thanksgiving. Along with some like white trash sides that I thought I'd give like a chance that I'm like, I wonder what it's like if you don't make your own stuffing. Let's see what that tastes like. I'm mixing it up with high and low because I'm going to add some East Sydney creme fraiche and some East Sydney butter to stuff and then like just kind of mix that all together. And then, you know, hopefully I succeed at life. But then it's also just like everyone gets a good bottle of wine this year and they're set. It's not mm-hmm. like you're entertaining 10 people at a table this season. So I think it's kind of a nice relief within all this crazy that's been happening this year.
It's a good way to think about it.
That people are not feeling that way.
I think you have to give it a positive spin, and I think you have to find the things that you enjoy the most, mm-hmm. and take it a step further. I'm all mm-hmm. about a little bit of selfishness to make the day brighter. You know what I mean?
Well, I think along the same lines as Diane, you know, when she was talking about Dorothy cheese and stuff, is all these cheeses that are available in smaller formats is the perfect cheese to serve right now, you know? And, mm-hmm. You know, I'm willing to take more of a chance on a cheese I'm not familiar with right now. You know, a little extra treat, you know, mm-hmm. and if it comes in a small format, like, I'll go for it. Mm-hmm. And then if you don't, you know, you have it left over, you just throw it all into a mac and cheese. Yeah, I mean that's kind of how I stumbled upon my recipe personally. I mean, sometimes mm-hmm. I'll throw, if I have a smoked cheese in the house, I'll throw that in. If I have any like stumps of like 3 or 4 different cheddars or cheddar styles, I throw those in. You know, it's a way to use up everything, but you know, you never know what you're going to get, and then you kind of like just keep making it over and over. And
yeah. All right, listeners, you're listening to Cutting the Curd. I'm Kara Warren. My guests are Jessica Kesselman and Diane Stemple, and we will be right back.
This episode of Cutting the Curd is brought to you by Conte Cheese Association. Conte Cheese Association represents the Conte PDO, Conte Protected Designation of Origin in the USA. Conte is a raw milk cooked pressed cheese from the Jura Mountains of France. There, every day, 2,500 family farms deliver milk to over 150 local cheesemaking facilities, or fruitiers. This milk must be transformed into Conte within 24 hours of milking to preserve the lactic microflora in the milk, ensuring the cheese's aromatic potential. About 105 gallons of milk are required to craft a single wheel of Conte. Conte takes time to acquire its flavors in the affinage cellars. After 8 months of aging by dedicated affineur on average, each wheel of Conte is graded and shipped to market. No wheel of Conte is the same. Its flavors speak to the pastures where the cows grazed, the season in which it was made, the particular craftsmanship of the cheesemaker, and the time spent in the aging cellar. Therefore, every wheel of Conte is unique. Learn more about Conte, an iconic cheese from the Jura Mountains of France, favored by cheesemongers and cheese lovers all over the world. Find out more at conte-usa.com. That's conte-usa.com.
All right, everyone, welcome back to Cutting the Curd. I'm Kara Warren, and today, like I was saying before, we got Jess and Diane on the show, my colleagues and friends for all things cheese and co-hosting of this awesome podcast. And the next thing I wanted to ask them is, did they buy anything online this year? Was there a specialty food product that they took a chance on from afar? I'm curious. And did either of you, let's start with Diane. Diane, did you buy anything online this year?
Not yet.
But are you considering something?
I'm considering it. Well, no. I think I bought cheese from Saxelby.
Online?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Because she's local to you. I thought maybe, interesting.
Well, it was when I was in New Jersey. And so it wasn't so local. And I bought it.
Oh, and what was it again? Because I just lost you in the recording.
I don't remember what I bought.
That's okay. All right. Well, but you supported Anne, Anne Saxelby, yeah. That is, and you have her book. So maybe there's some new rules and guidelines that you've associated with the cheese. That's cool. Jess, did you buy anything online, or are you considering anything online?
So you're going to start to see a theme here with me. I bought Jenny's ice cream online. I got a box of 6 pints back in, when things were really hitting the fan and we were all just like, you know, wearing the same clothes for days and days, like, you know, and homeschooling. Yes. So it must have been like April or May, and it was amazing. And then I did it again for Thanksgiving, went with some of her holiday flavors, and because it was just great. I mean, it was easy. It comes packaged so well. So I did that. Planning on getting some pimento cheese spread for Christmas. Done. So that's my next one. But I also did something online. It wasn't so much shopping, but my youngest daughter and I took an online burrata and mozzarella making class.
Oh, wow.
So I guess it's kind of a purchase, an online purchase, but it was a virtual class and it was really great. So I think it's not just, you know, stuff, but also experiences, because, you know, we couldn't go out for so long. We still can't do a lot of these things in person. So,
right. Yeah.
So that was a lot of fun.
Ah, well done. And who did you do the burrata and cheese making course with? Who? Can you give a shout out, or is it?
Yeah, we did it through Murray's.
Oh, Murray's. Okay.
Murray's Cheese Shop, and it was great. And then they send you a link to the recording so you can go back and revisit it, and they give you all the directions, to print out so we can try it again. It would make a great gift too to people.
So that's another thing. I started looking at gifts, food related gifts online. And I feel like I have to redo my research now, because I feel like the pimento cheese has snuck in from like that is a big one. And then I feel like, okay, maybe there's some other like charcuterie products, especially, you know, I was just hanging with, Philosophy Foods, Carrie and Dave on the last episode, and they had a ton of really interesting products that I was like, ooh, I wonder if I should get this for people down the line. Mm-hmm. So I guess we're all starting to think about foodie gifts as well now a little bit. Diane, I know sometimes you have certain beers that you like. Is there anything that you're sort of eyeing for Christmas time coming up?
Not yet. Okay. I'm trying to think of Christmas.
You're trying to think of Christmas. Yes. I guess we have to get through this first hurdle a little bit. And then we'll start to and then we'll start to get into it. Because I will say, I don't know if either of you have actually walked into a grocery store. I know with COVID things are a little difficult right now, but I was in like an Aldi this morning and it was just like sort of like mad. There are so many people on a Monday already buying lots and lots of things.
Well, it's the Monday before Thanksgiving.
That's the time, right? I mean, I felt like maybe Tuesday, Wednesday, you know, you wait a little to the last minute. But maybe that's the New Yorker attitude about it. Now is like full moxie. No, I guess. you know, hold on to your turkeys, grab the stuffing. What is it, cream of mushroom? I mean, some people. Is the cream of mushroom even have cream in it? I wonder. I should look at the can. But yeah, so there's a lot of things going on.
Although I do know with the pandemic on top of everything else, I think we are seeing a little bit of hoarding happening again. I'm seeing photos of like empty shelves with, you know, where the toilet paper used to be. So I think people are thinking, while I'm here, I mean, that's what I was doing. I started shopping for Thanksgiving like a week or two ago. I just started like, I might as well get it now because I don't know what things are going to look like in a week. You know, so
That's a fair point. I mean, I think everyone is shopping a few weeks ahead because when I went to look at the Thanksgiving displays in some stores already, they were you're exactly right. They were picked over. So hopefully people get a refresh on their deliveries and more product will trickle in because the full buying power is up, especially, I guess, with restaurants closing again. As well, I mean, not that so many people go out to, well, maybe there is a good chunk of people, I would say, that used to go out for prefix meals for Thanksgiving. So the restaurant industry now doesn't have that key element either anymore.
Right.
So we're going to have to see through all this how everyone keeps adapting and pivoting. But, you know, it's interesting.
You're trying to act cheerful, but it's actually a bad situation.
It truly is but I think, you know, that's why when people do have their Thanksgiving meals with their awesome cheeses and specialty foods this season, it's good to take a moment to remember what's going on in the world and, you know, take a deep breath and, you know, happy, even if you're 2 people to 10 people, just say this is a great Thanksgiving because we're here together and you have this great food that you thought about, you know, you put your little extra thought into the food, and you make it the best it can be. I think that's the best takeaway from all that. I guess in terms of secret cooking tips, by the way, to segue to something a little bit later, I just not just realized, but I want to say I did make an Italian wedding soup last week, which is like a tomato based soup with noodles and everything. I didn't have Parmesan rinds, so I went to the old drawer, and of course I have lots of Mimolet rinds. Surprise to everyone, I have a lot of Mimolet rinds in my fridge. So I actually threw that into the Italian wedding soup. And I have to say, it was really effing good.
Like, okay, I cannot fathom how that works.
Mimolet rinds?
Yeah, because when I think Mimolet rind, I just remember dusting off mites.
Aha. Well, I mean, so by the point they're in my fridge, it's not as dusty. And, you know, it's then you still have the earthiness of that rind from the cave cellar situation. So it actually, you know, and then you have the saltiness like you would sort of like a Parmigiano. You know, you have that really aged out cow's milk cheese with the toothsome kind of quality to it. But it has that very high salt. You know, it's brined for 3 days, so it has an intense amount of salt in it. So it actually works like that umami salty business. Now, I know some people laugh, oh, umami, ha, ha, ha. But, I mean, it did do the trick. It did great. It was delicious.
I don't know if I would try it personally because I can't. I don't know. I'm going to have to try your soup first.
Oh, okay, fine. But I hear you. Ditto. We'll serve up a soup and exchange butter and creme fraiche and all our goodies one day. But okay, so moving on to you guys, Jess, what is a cheese cooking tip, if you have one handy, that you can give to our listeners?
Oh boy. Well, you know what? Lately, so I'm obsessed with the New York Times cooking app. And I finally created a folder, like a subfolder, of my favorite recipes that use cheese. And because I often have like just pieces of cheese in my fridge, and or like the last half cup of ricotta, you know, just things that need to be used up. So I made a cheese folder, and I'm finding more recipes that instead of using grated Parmigiano Reggiano, I'm using bigger like shreds or flakes and roasting them, not using it as a finishing like sprinkle, but like cooking with, you know, roasting and cooking with larger pieces of Parmigiano Reggiano. There's a roasted cauliflower recipe on the New York Times cooking app where you cook the last like 15, 20 minutes with, you know, flakes of Parmigiano Reggiano. And it is insane. Wow. It is so good. Yeah.
Man, I think you've just inspired me to hook up and get a little bit more organized on my recipe folder. That's a good tip, actually. Diane, do you have a follow-up to a tip, either cooking or food-wise?
I don't cook with cheese.
You don't cook with cheese? You just eat it straight up?
Yes. Usually. Yes.
Well, wait, what is the, if you don't eat it straight up, what was the opposite of that?
I don't do it.
Oh, you just don't do it? There's no grilled cheese in the field, I was going to say.
No, very, very little grilled cheese.
Do you use cheese as a finisher or anything? Or do you seriously don't mix your,
I do put cheese on top of things. Mm-hmm. Yes, I do. Parmesan, queso fresco, you know, I mean, whatever the recipe calls for, I will put it on top.
Right.
But Fair enough. I don't cook with cheese. I've never had them.
Interesting.
Can I ask you guys a controversial question?
Sure. I love it.
How do you guys feel about fruit in your cheese? Because this time of year, we start seeing lots of fruit in cheese, like mango, blueberries, cranberries. How do you guys feel about it? Not like on top of your cheese. I'm talking about like in your cheese.
In the cheese, yeah.
So I don't eat that either.
Well, yeah, I can't.
So here's a very funny, weird story. Quick, I'll make it quick. But so I normally am also repulsed by this idea. But however, I always am open to cheesemonger suggestions. And so it was like a Valentine's Day situation, and I went into a store in New Jersey, and the guy said to me, "You got to get this Briotte Savarin with the papaya in it." And I said, "Briotte Savarin with papaya? Dude, like dried papaya?" I was like, I don't know. He's like, "Listen, you're buying a bottle of champagne? Do it." So I actually bought this piece of cheese because I was like, you know what? He was so confident. Either I'll never take this guy's word again. I'll like never shop at this place again. We'll see what happens. So actually, I brought it home. I popped the bottle, and I started this cheese with it. And I have to say, it was really effing good. It was like mind-blowingly good. It's just not a normal thing to pick up, though. Like I would never think papaya and Briotte Savarin. Yeah, it's a weirdo idea to put fruit in there. Yeah, and I lean towards savory combinations. So to even if we were talking back to baked brie situation, like I wouldn't like put a jam into it, like a confiture. I wouldn't do it. It's just not my thing. I'd rather have like a pesto or something real safe. I don't know. You know, as tacky as that all sounds, but I'd rather do something else than that. But you know, hey. So Diane, you're not into it. Jess, you said you're not into it either?
I'm not, but I respect the tradition because it is, you know, it is in certain cheeses you'll see they'll add some fruit. That's, you know, whether it's for holidays or it's just the way it's made. And
sure,
I like the washed. Like I really like that, you know, play, and not just with like apple, like not just with like ciders or whatever. But I like a good raspberry, you know, washed cheese, almost like, you know, like wine, you know, things like that. But I just, maybe it's a texture thing. I just can't.
Yeah. I actually, as a cheese person, I've grown into fresh fruit with cheese. I used to kind of forget about it. I did, you know, charcuterie, flatbread, all the other accoutrement that you would normally do. But like fresh fruit, when you get it right, it's a game changer with the cheese. Like, mm-hmm. I really feel like it gets overlooked because we're focusing on, like, I don't know, we're just not focusing on fresh, you know, always. So yeah, I still fresh fruit, 100% fruit mixed into cheese. I'll give it a shot. But you know, there's always like some.
You're getting very liberal.
I am a very liberal person. I try. You know, I try to do these things. Right. And actually, speaking of kind of coming up for Christmas, will you guys be doing the Stilton and Port combo? I'm looking forward to that. I am a traditionalist in that way. I'm going to get a nice port, a tawny port probably, and go for the old school Stilton.
Never that either.
What? Mm. Oh, come on. Diane, it's a classic Christmas
it's
combo.
It's a winner. Yep. There's a reason that's stayed around for so long.
I got to do it. I'll do it this year.
When we do the host round table for Christmas with Carlos, I'm sure we'll get a lot more info on that because he's been keeping everyone kind of up to date with like what's happening AOP wise and PDO. Uh-huh. And I think he's going to speak more to that because I saw his Old Ways Cheese Coalition was mentioning something about that. So I want to follow up with Carlos Yescas on that when we do our next episode on the round table situation.
Although you could also swap out, nothing against Stilton, but there are some great American blue cheeses. You can do the same, you know, swap them in.
Are you referring to Rogue or Jasper, or is there another one?
Actually, yeah, those were the two that came to my mind. But I think even like, I don't know, you play with some other like Asher blue or, I got to say, I love Bay Blue. Point Reyes Bay Blue is to me is a super winner, but there's so many great blue cheeses and actually, you know, thinking about the whole thing about buying online, I just keep thinking about how there are parts of the country I don't get to enjoy the local cheeses from because we don't get them up in the New York metro area. And for people who live in like other parts of the country, they, you know, they have the same dilemma. And so this is a real opportunity, this shopping online to, you know, order some cheese from another part of the country. And yeah. So I've got my eyes on the South. I don't know if it's just because my daughter's going to Tulane now, but I I've got this pimento cheese thing happening. So I'm looking forward to maybe for Christmas. That's what I'm looking at, is getting like a selection of cheeses made in the South. Mm-hmm. And
that's a very smart idea. I mean, it's good to branch out. I've had my eye on Meadow Creek for some special cheeses to get. Mm. And I've also been thinking about the Redhead Robiola, I think up in the Midwest. To kind of think of some names that I haven't had in a while that I usually see at cheese shows.
Yeah, I think because we didn't have the Festival of Cheese this year and, you know, there was no ACS conference, no fancy food show, that I'm thinking back to last year in Richmond and what I had at ACS last year that I still to this day, like, remember getting to try and wishing that I, you know, was looking forward to maybe getting to see them again and taste them again. And I didn't. So what do I do? Right. I'll just order them and then, and support them financially by, buying their cheese. So,
right. That's the thing. Sorry, Diane, you go ahead.
I want to mention a sad fact.
Yes.
Is it time?
Yes. I think it's proper. Diane, go ahead.
Okay. James Coogan died abruptly a couple weeks ago. He worked at Eli's as his last stop. It's very sad. It's very, you know, it was a shock to everyone. Anyone who knows him is pretty upset.
So sad. It's one of those things. So just to give a background to the listeners out there, James, he died at the age of 55. He was one of my favorite people in New York City. to run into and talk to about cheese. He had been in the cheese business over 20 years, and he was just like one of those old school New Yorker types that like you ran into, and he would just be like, "Hey, Kat, how's it going? What's going on with this cheese?" You know, and he would have all the international cheeses. He would do the American. He was fair to everyone, and you know, he just kind of. He was good. He was great at his job. I mean, he did, I don't know every stop that he did. I believe it was Dean and DeLuca he might have worked at one point. Diane, if you know more of the places that he worked at, but I knew him at Eli's Market. You know, he was doing a great job down there. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I was totally surprised by it. You know, I thought I was going to be talking to him about cheese this week. You know, I just, I cannot believe.
Yeah.
What a great person. Our thoughts and condolences go out to his wife Bambi. Mm-hmm. And you know, to anyone in the East Coast or the cheese in community of the US, he's gonna be missed. I mean, he was just one of those people you saw at the trade shows, and I had always a great conversation with him on the side. So
my thoughts, he was a very good conversationalist.
Yeah.
About food and about life.
He was a real person. He was not, was not, you know, doing schmoozing or anything, you know, anyway, he was real. So, my thoughts go out to, I was thinking of him the other day when I found out the news and, you know, it's sad to see him go so early. So for 2020, just, you know, give a cheers to him at your Thanksgiving tables if you can, if you knew him. And think good thoughts for him. You know, we're going to all miss him. So, So I guess on that note, I want to wish all of our listeners a happy Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. You know, I hope they have the best cheese at their table. Hopefully they sneak in the treasure that they've always wanted, because this is the one year that they'll be able to get what they want until we go back to normal Thanksgivings. And I want to thank you both for coming on the show today.
Thank you.
Thank you, Kara.
It's been very delightful.
Oh, you guys. All right, everyone. Thank you so much for listening to Cutting the Curd. I'm your host, Kara Warren. You can follow us at Cutting the Curd on Instagram. You can follow Heritage Radio at Heritage_radio. And I hope all of you have an amazing Thanksgiving. Have a great day. Bye.
Happy Thanksgiving, you guys. Stay safe.
Happy Thanksgiving. Bye.
Cutting the Curd is powered by Simplecast. Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Instagram and Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can also find us at facebook.com/heritageradionetwork. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Subscribe to the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join the HRN family by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.
I want to tell you about a new podcast called Amuse News. Publishing multiple days a week, Amuse News is your source for food news, interviews from around the food world, and more. On the show, we'll be engaging with food storytellers, from chefs to advocates to people working in the field, and many more. Find Amuse News wherever you get your podcasts. Amuse News is a destination for everyone who's looking for a new, insightful look into the world of food.